Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're back. Marks and Reese. Johnny Marks, Ike Reese. It's been two games now, Ike, where we were hoping that we were going to be able to talk about the game, but then Joel Embiid, with comments after the game or whatever, gives us something else to talk about. And joining us right now, you know, he's actually a part of the morning show, 94 WIP morning show, but of course, former GM of the 76ers, the great Billy King with Marks and Reese. What's up, Billy?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
What's up, BK?
I like your hours better than the morning ones, but I'm having fun with it.
Yeah, you get in, you get out early, right? In the summertime, you can be on the golf course by 11 o'clock.
You're right. I'll be going to bed early and getting up at 3:30 tonight.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Billy, just initially, what's your reaction to what's transpired here over the last week to 10 days? You've been in this town a long time, couple of decades. What's your reaction to Joel Embiid in the last week or two?
Well, you know, I think Joel just keeps digging himself a little bit of a hole. I think he's frustrated. Like he said, he's not playing up to the level that he wants to play. He doesn't like where the team's record is right now. And when he made the comment and did it on the court, telling the fans to be quiet, and then he just compounded by coming back and talking even more. And it's probably a good time for an all-star break. But the unfortunate thing with an all-star break is they got a press availability. So, you know, he'll get the chance to speak more. You know, he'll talk even more with the national media. I just think right now he's frustrated. Even with the game last night where they played well, I think there's – and you see this a lot of times. Yeah, I saw it with Allen where he got frustrated. There's times Allen said things. But Allen was pretty savvy with the media and the fans, understand how to get himself out of it without digging a little deeper of a hole. And I think that's what Joel, you know, needs to take some time now going to the All-Star game, try to just, you know, praise the fans and move on, because they don't want this distraction as they come back from break with 27 games to go.
I was going to say, you brought up AI, and we all remember during his time here, he had those moments where I'm sure as a general manager at the time, you and Larry Brown, you guys are trying to figure out, along with Pat Croce, I'm assuming, trying to figure out, okay, how do we navigate this situation that AI has found himself in? And you need the players' help to sort of help you all and help him navigate through it as an organization. Elton Brand and Brett Brown right now, is this a difficult situation for them to manage?
Yeah, it is. It's always difficult when you have great players and they know you need them. I mean, he's got the leverage because, you know, in order for them to go to win and try to win a championship, they need Joel Embiid. What I tried to do with Allen is at times he and I would just have long talks, and sometimes it get heated and sometimes it wouldn't. But we'd talk about things and I'd let him vent to me and try to get it out and try to explain, you know, why he shouldn't do certain things or say certain things. But I always try to get him to vent on me. If it was Larry that was frustrated, vent on me. If it was the fans, if it was teammates, whatever, you know, let's hash it out where we can argue, you can debate, and you can yell and scream. We can show back, you know, swear words at each other. But at the end of the day, Allen always, we ended up agreeing when we walked out. And because he understood that, you know, he wanted to be able to play without any distractions. And he didn't want coming to the game and the fans, you know, on him or yelling at him or booing him, because he got that enough on the road. He loved the fans of Philadelphia, so he wanted to make sure that when they came, they got a show, and, you know, and he appreciated the love they gave him.
Billy, Joe, publicly it's been the fans against Joel and Joel against the fans. Ike believes that he's more frustrated with the team, with the role that he has right now, and he doesn't know where he fits in the offense because he said as much in the last week too. Do you agree with that? Do you think this is more about where he feels like he is with the organization right now?
Well, I don't think it's just the organization. I just think he's frustrated because the expectation of this team was so high, and they're not there. They've lost games on the road. They haven't played nearly everybody thought they'd be right now. And I agree with that. I think it's just, I think he's just frustrated with the whole season, how it's going right now. And that's why I said at the beginning, the All-Star break is a great chance for him to get away, play with some of the guys. And when you're, when he's at the All-Star game, there's going to be, you know, 24 or 23 other All-Stars there. And it's a chance where a guy may say, hey, Joel, don't worry about it. Just keep playing. You're great. You know, and it sort of can, and being cheered, it sort of give him a chance to get himself out of it. And when he comes back, you know, they've got the Nets and they've got a chance to really put this and get themselves in a position where they can go for home court advantage. But I think it's an overall frustration, not just with him. I think the team is frustrated. Anytime you have high expectations like they did, there's frustration. You saw it with the Eagles this year. There was a huge expectation with them. And as they were losing, people were on Carson. They were on the receivers. They were on the cornerbacks. And it was just a lot of frustration built up. They were able to win some games, get themselves in the playoffs, and people felt better about them. When you're losing, especially in this town, and this town is has high expectations, they're going to let you know when you don't reach it. So I think that the frustration level is – I mean, because when you go places, either social media, you go to dinner, you're hearing about it. And so it's all that that adds to it. And when you're, and then when you get on the court and you, and little things go away, or turnovers or referee misses a call, it can set you off just because of the pressure right now. Because there's 27 games left. It's not like 10 games into the season. You know, this is the home stretch.
Yeah. I'm going to keep it on the court, BK. Last night, you know, Brett Brown, they finally went with the decision to take Al Horford out of the starting lineup and try to stagger he and Embiid's minutes. Just your thoughts on how that seemed to work out last night, and then is it sustainable? And then I think more important, I'd like to get your thoughts on the decision process there, right? To take a guy that's a high-priced free agent that you brought in, didn't envision him in that role, and now he's in this role. What goes into that decision-making?
Well, I'm sure, Brett, there's probably something they've been talking about for a while as a coaching staff. And, you know, do we do this? Do we do it? And they, and the lineup last night helped them to do it. And they probably talked to Al, and him being a veteran, he probably said, whatever it takes for us to win, I'm all for it. Because the ultimate goal is to win. I had dinner with Stan Van Gundy, and he said, we were talking about it. When you get guys that – are at this point in their career where it's just about winning. It's not about trying to step yourself individually. I got to get my rebounds, got to get my points, triple doubles, or whatever it is. You get guys like Al Horford, it's like, my career is coming to an end. I've got to do whatever it takes to win. So if they approach him about it, he probably said, hey, coach, if that's going to help us win, I'm all for it. I'll come off the bench. I'll do whatever it takes to win.
Is that tough? Like, if you're like, I mean, like Elton Brand, I mean, you get this guy $109 million over 4 years, fans are going to say, hold on, he's a bench player? Why did you give him that money? Was that a mistake? Is that a tough decision to make? And does the fact that you signed into that type of deal, does that weigh into it?
Well, you know, as a GM, yeah, you don't want to sign a guy like that and then make that decision. But I always told coaches that you do what you think is best to win, because coaches are ultimately – judged on win and losses. So you don't want to be in management saying, no, you have to play that guy, because if they don't win, then you can't justify if you got to make a change in the coaching staff. You got to allow them to make whatever decisions are appropriate that they feel that they can win, and then you can judge them on their job performance. Because if you're telling them who to play, then you can never judge them on their job performance, because you're dictating the lineups.
Billy, and we're talking to Billy King. Billy, how long, like, let's just assume, hypothetically, they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals this year. Maybe they go to the second round and they lose. Are you considering trading either Ben or Joel? How long do you wait to see if these guys can fit together? They sure look like they fit together at home, not on the road as much. But, I mean, how long do you give this before you say, you know what, I should be looking to see what I can get to try to change the team around and build around one of these guys?
I don't think you panic and make that decision because of the fact that, you know, this team is, you know, was seven bounces away of going to the conference finals last year against Toronto. They've proven that they can play well and win before, and they've proven they can play well and win at home. But they've beaten the Bucks, the Lakers, the Clippers, Denver. They've beaten a lot of very good teams here, so they've proven they can play together. So I don't think you make that decision. I think you got to figure out the pieces to put around them to help them be as successful as they can be. And one, it starts with you got to have a lot of shooting. I think they added some shooting at the break. and Furkan for those two games, he made shots. If they can make shots from the perimeter, it makes it easier for Ben to slash and cut and find guys, and it makes it easier for Joel to find space. What teams were doing, they were playing zone, which clogged things up, and then they were double-teaming Joel, and the only way you can make teams pay for that is you got to make jump shots, and they weren't doing that for a while. The last couple games they have, the game against Milwaukee on Christmas Day, they made a lot of threes, so you got to make shots to create spacing. That's why Golden State was so good during their run, because they were making shots. That's why the Lakers this year are much better, because they got guys who can make shots. You've got to make shots to create the spacing to help Joel and Embiid succeed.
Yeah, Ben Simmons won't take shots, Billy. We know that he's very good even without taking jump shots. How do you navigate that as a front office person, as Brett Brown? Do you more or less and say, listen, like Ike was saying this a couple weeks ago, you almost have to realize that he's not going to be a three-point shooter, that he's not going to do that, and then try to build your team around that. Would you do the same thing, or would you try? Because, listen, Brett can encourage him to shoot and say that he wants him to shoot 1-3 a game. He's not doing it. So at some point, I think you have to just be honest with yourselves and say, all right, he's not going to shoot.
Yeah, I mean, that's my – I don't worry as much about him shooting the jumper or shooting three-pointers. I think people are caught up in it. To me, the focal point should be making free throws. I think that's where I'd want him to be better. Because in the fourth quarter, you want him still attacking, going to the hole, and having confidence that he gets fouled, he can go to the line and make free throws. That's what tends to hurt them, especially in the playoffs, is when he's not being aggressive attacking because for fear he has to go to the free throw line. So I would be more concerned him getting his free throw percentage above 70%. And then that way he can be aggressive late in the games, because right now, late in the games, he doesn't want to go to that foul line. And that's what hurts you more than just shooting the threes, because as the game slows down in the playoffs, making a three is great, but you got to be able to attack him in knowing I'm either going to get a dunk or I'm going to get fouled, go to the line, and make two free throws.
Mm. So you think these two can work together, Billy? Because that's the talk right now, is that the fit just isn't there, that Ben looks happier, he looks like a better player without Joel Embiid. Do you really think that these two can coexist and work?
I've had guys that didn't like each other and didn't like playing each other. I'm not saying these two don't, but I've had guys that didn't. But when they got on the court, they figured out a way to win, because that's the ultimate goal. I think there are things you can do. They did it last night, running a lower pick and roll with Ben and Joel, so it's harder to sag off Ben because he's so close to the rim. If you go under, he can finish it. So I think you got to put them in positions. There's things you can do to put them in position to be successful, and it doesn't have to always just we got to shoot threes. I think from the coaching standpoint, I think Brett did some things last night that helped them both succeed together. But also, you've got to end of the games, you can't let these guys free flow in the offense. Sometimes you've got to call plays and make sure that you get the ball in the right guy's hands. And whether it's running a lower pick and roll with Ben and Joel, because you can take advantage of that situation because they can't sag, or it's getting Tobias jump shots when he's hot. But I think with this group late in the game, especially in the fourth, I would take it out of their hands to run free offense and run more dictated plays so you know who's getting the shots.
All right, there you have it.
Hold on, BK. Who didn't like each other?
In Philly, it wasn't in Philly. It was more when I was up in.
I knew it was those Nets. I knew it was the Nets when you brought those veterans in there. Probably right.
Well, no, the veterans are good. We had a couple guys in the backcourt that didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And I'll just leave it at that.
Billy, thanks,
all right,
man.
BK, thank you, brother.
Appreciate it.
All right, you're welcome.
There, Bill King.
Hey, when players don't like each other in basketball, man, the rooms are small.
That's trouble.
You can't get away from each other, yeah.
There's only like 12 players on the
yeah,
basketball
exactly,
team.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, there's 53 in a football team.
Yeah.
You can
avoid each other. You're in different meeting rooms or what have you. It's offense, defense. Yeah, basketball, they're pretty much right there with each other.
I won't ask you for a name of two names who didn't like each other, but give me one of the guys' names.
Oh, with the Eagles?
Was it Runyon? Guys didn't like Runyon?
Oh, when he first got there, sure, but he was being a total jerk then. I mean, that's what they brought him in for. It's funny. He earned our respect, and I'm assuming we earned his respect. He was here for about a decade. Yeah, that wasn't really a dislike. Who can I think of that didn't like each other? Man.
Besides the obvious?
Yeah, besides the obvious,
yeah,
not right?
T.O. Yeah. And Donovan.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you. The veteran corners, all three of them, Bobby, Troy, and Al, didn't like Freddie Mitchell just because Freddie talked so much.
Oh, my God, they must have hated him.
Yeah, he talks so much. Like, Troy wouldn't even go up against him in practice. He told him he wasn't good enough. Yeah. No, he told Freddie, like, why would I waste my time going up against you in practice? You're nowhere near my level of a player.
Is that right?
I don't get any better going up against you. So they would let Al just ragdoll Freddie at times.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. I mean, now we've had a couple little – skirmishes that broke out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get that with guys that like each other.
Yeah, exactly. That can happen with guys that actually like each other.
But early in Runyon's days in practice, his first year there, was he cheap shotting you guys?
Yeah, he was trying to bring that tough guy stuff to the field, and we weren't gonna have that. I mean, no, Andy brought you here to toughen up the offense. Yeah, hitting us on the defensive side of the ball is not going to toughen us up. We're just going to roll y'all ass up some more. That's all that's going to happen there. So you're hitting defensive players. We're not the ones that need to be toughened up.
It's your teammates, John.
Well, we're not the ones that needed to be toughened up. He wanted them to toughen up the offensive line.
Right.
It's like bringing Jason Peters in.
888-729.
Makes the other guys tougher.
94-94, 888-729-9494.
Well, one of these days, I'll tell you, you guys like to talk about the thing that happened in Atlanta, right? With me and the Eagles, and you like to fabricate this thing that Jeremiah.
What
and
happened? I don't know.
Jeremiah
what you're
and I got into a fight or something. And I got him kicked
out.
Wait,
what happened? Atlanta. I hadn't thought about that in a while. Yeah.
I haven't thought about that in years.
Well, one of these days, I may tell you about the time that I almost had to take the silver back down, man. One time we did almost get into it.
Wow.
I thought, listen.
Tease Viber heard one.
Yeah, one time we did in training camp. One time we did almost get into it in the meeting room.
In the meeting room?
Yeah. Yeah,
really?
Because I was making fun of him about what happened on a practice field. He had gotten into a fight with somebody. I think he may have gotten into a fight with Trey or a scuffle. He had gotten into a little dust up in practice with Trey. And they were going at it in a 9-on-7 drill or what have you. And Trey wound up getting the best of him on the play. And so I had to do the whole knee slapping laugh.
Like, so you were being a joker.
Oh yeah, I had to go ahead.
Being loud.
Well, because Trot is all you guys got to know. Trot, you know Trot.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to have thick skin to be around Trot, because he's gonna break your stones. And that's what we used to do in the meeting rooms. If something happened on that practice field and it's on video, we can't wait to get to the meeting room to see it. So I was anticipating it. We knew where the fight had happened at.
And you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
With Trotto.
So, no, he said something to me that challenged me. Basically, he was like, you won't do it, right? It was that sort of tone is what it amounted to. So then I had to give my whole retort to him.
Yeah, I would do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I would do it, right? So, now, mind you, Ron Rivera is running the film. He just wants to run the practice tape.
So Ron Rivera is your position coach.
He's our position coach.
He's in there running through the
tape. Yes, and we're in there going at it. You know, Zeke is you know, Mike Caldwell, he's egging me on about, go in and bring it up. You know, right? So he's egging me on. So he didn't know Trot was going to get serious and get upset. Neither did I, really. But once it got there, I'm like, I ain't no punk either. You know, I had to, but here's the funny thing, right? Now, this young boy is strong. So you got to be smart. You got to know how to pick your battles. So part of me was, okay, if he gets up, I got to hit him first, right?
Yeah, you don't want to wrestle with him.
Yeah, and I don't mean hit him with my hands first. If he gets up, I'm going to have to take this chair and swing it first. So now we done turned around and faced each other. Now we're like, okay, I'm serious. Yeah, I'm serious too.
So you're both standing up looking at each other.
No, we both are sitting down.
Oh.
We don't want to get up.
But you're facing each other in the chairs.
Now, mind you, we're roommates. This is our second year. We're roommates in training camp.
Ooh.
We got to go back to the dorm together. So Ron told us to knock it off. We ignored him. We're still arguing over the top. So it was the first time I'd ever heard Ron yell. Like, he stood up and said, all right, bleepity bleep. I said, knock it the bleepity bleep off. So Trot says, all you have to worry, Ron, he ain't going to do nothing.
No.
Whatever happened, like, Rich?
This dude is really trying me for real, man.
What did you say? No, you ain't going to do nothing.
Right. Of course. So, long story short, We settled down. We wound up going back. We had to leave separately.
Is that right?
Yeah, Ron wasn't going to let us leave at the same, because he didn't want the arguing to continue for us to keep going. So Trot left out. I had to wait back. So I'm like, okay, this dude is in the room. I got to go up to the room now. So I'm getting ready. I don't even know what's going to happen when I get up to the room. I get up to the room, and this is why I love him. He's like, he's sitting on the bed. He's like, dude, you know what? We came in here together, man. We're brothers. I apologize. So he was the bigger man. He honestly was. He was the bigger man, and I was the man that was in fear. Yeah. In my mind, I'm like, this joker got me out weighed by 40 pounds. But he had to show me what Hooks, Texas is all about.
Right.
Right? So he got to show me what Hooks, Texas is all about. So that was the one time we did literally almost got into it. It's the only time. But it didn't happen.
That's awesome.
And I was thankful that it didn't happen, because I don't know if I'd have came out on top in that one.
Yeah, and then with the Axeman.
I'm not sure either, Ike. I'm glad you didn't, Ike. He's the better man.
Yes. 8887. Especially after I heard what he did to LeVar Arrington.
888-729-9494.
Believe me, that now that's a funny story.
Yeah, I mean, I think Trot actually Trot told me.
That, yeah, you got to have him tell you that.
Well, I don't think he's off the air. I don't think he wants to.
Well, he never talks about it on the air. He's not proud of it.
I think he did one time.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not proud of it.
I'll try to book him for tomorrow.
888-729-9494. Back into Embiid. His comments after the game.
By the way, the last time we did this,
yeah,
his wife happened to be listening to the show. She calls my wife and says, what are they talking about? When did Jeremiah and Ike get into a fight? Yeah, so I heard that on the way home.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's awesome. 888-729-9494.
Never know who's listening out there, man.
94. It's Marks and Reese. Coming up, more Joel Embiid. He says, hey, they've been going to me. I've been going to them. If I could take it, then they need to take it too. I have to do a better job. But you, the fan, you have to do a better job. Do you believe that as a fan, that you need to do a better job? That Joel Embiid is right. We'll discuss on the other side. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. But, hey, listen, Eagles fans, you heard us talking about it. Maybe you've seen some of it. But if you haven't, you got to check it out. It's amazing. The all-new season of All or Nothing, the Philadelphia Eagles, right now on Prime Video. It's included with your Prime membership. And Ike Reese makes a cameo in it, along with me.
Very small cameo in it.
Yes. It's episode 4, I believe. So Doug, how it goes, Doug guarantees the win against the Cowboys on Angelo.
Yes.
Then they go to the noon press conference where he kind of backtracks. And then right to us, where I start saying, I don't believe in this team now. I don't believe in this team in the short term. And then you actually say this team's making the playoffs, right, and that's all anybody's going to care about.
I don't really know if I believed it at the time, but I certainly said it.
I don't think you did either, but it's amazing. It covers the 2019 Philadelphia Eagles and all access behind the scenes look at what it takes to compete in the winners take all of the NFL. Take an inside look at this incredible tough journey through the eyes of the players, the coaches, and their families. It's called All or Nothing, the Philadelphia Eagles. You can watch it right now on Prime Video, and it's included with your Prime membership.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.